Good morning. I apologize for what's left of my voice, but that's why I didn't sing. This is a time that I feel it fitting that we give also a tribute to our pastor. Today is a special day for those of us who attend Grace Doctrine Church. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of dedication of this property, our own place, in honor of Almighty God who has seen fit to bless us with a place of worship to call our own. This is also a fitting time to salute our pastor, who has for the last 23 and three-quarter years faithfully executed his spiritual gift from the pulpit as pastor-teacher of Grace Doctrine Church. Like all spiritual gifts, Joe Griffin's spiritual gift was given to him at the time of his faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, most likely at the First Church in Troy, almost 60 years ago. Right there in some Sunday school class, he received his eternal salvation. He also received his spiritual gift as pastor teacher. Right there at the First Church in front of God and Dixie Jernigan. But only God knew. As time passed, his gift remained dormant, as did his Bible, and unknown to all mortals. If someone in Troy would have asked Speed and Nona Griffin who was most likely to become a pastor, Joe, Ollie Youngblood, Robert Dunn, Jimmy Lawrence, or Sister Schubert, believe me, Pap or Speed Griffin or Nona would not have picked Joe. But God picked Joe. And in time, Joe tells us, he came to realize he had the curse. Members of this church have been beneficiaries of this curse. For almost 24 years, we have been instructed in Bible doctrine basics, problem-solving devices, the Royal Family Honor Code, the Christian way of life, Joshua, and we are currently having our chains clanked. Through these studies, we have been taught biblical principles pertaining to promises, prayer, salvation, child rearing, the theology of neurology, the 23rd Psalm, and Islamic duplicity. While we are currently being introduced to the mysteries of the Church of Rome, we have also rode the Santa Fe Trail in and out of wheel tracks, studied the divine power system, the blood of Christ, Psalm 119, and the doctrines of fear and faith rest drill. We've had the opportunity to study biblical creation, to have a wonderful life, and we're introduced to the mysteries of time, chronon by chronon by chronon. We now also have an appreciation for systematic Bible study, the expanded and in the nutshell versions, and in the proper training of horses. Although the clanking chains do appear more close and tighter, and they become more threatening, Joe has taught us that our refuge is in Christ, that Jesus Christ controls history, and so goes the believer, so goes this nation. One thing is certain. If this nation comes to suffer under the penalties of cyclic disciplines, and this nation's pivot shrinks to the point that it leaves our Lord but one option, the fault will not lie with Joe Griffin. He, sirs, has done his duty. Thank God for Joe Griffin's spiritual gift. Joe, your curse is our blessing.
Now you know. Beg your pardon? There's no singing here. We're done singing. Oh, after that very riveting address by Weldon, it becomes very evident to you why Grace Doctrine Church in St. Charles, Missouri, and elsewhere, like Chesterfield, is the most boring Bible study in town. It is my duty to bore you to the point of tears. And those who can live up to it and endure it, these are the ones that grow in grace. And I salute all of you today who are here. I salute all who have gone through the doors of Grace Doctrine Church over almost a quarter of a century. Weldon was very kind to mention my curse and how it came about and who my competitors were. I am the first to tell you that probably the best among them was Ollie Youngblood, but there were other candidates there. My good friend Jim Lawrence was mentioned. We were boyhood buddies in the Murphy Street Gang, the Razors of General Hell, and he is a good friend of mine still living in Birmingham. But when it comes around to those who have inspired me along the way, I have to give a salute to those that really deserve it far more than I. There are three men in my life that have inspired me. First of all, taken chronologically, is my grandfather, Alec Griffin. This man, spent a lot of time with him over the years, and he was a man of straightforward integrity. The one thing you didn't do to boss Alec was lie. And I learned early about that. And he taught me those areas of integrity. And my father, who is not with us today, is at home. He's a Dorito today. But I couldn't do without my dad. And, of course, he was the one that gave me the foundation of biblical thought in what we would call general conservatism. You get what you work for. You pay your debts. You don't tell lies. You always tell the truth. You work hard. And therefore, whatever endeavor you take, you're going to give it 100%. And so when I decided I wanted to go into the ministry at my age and with all those children Joe Henry had, it was extremely difficult for me to go to the cemetery. And I wanted to go to Dallas Cemetery, but I just couldn't work it out. And so I ultimately went down to Houston and was told by the colonel that God uses prepared men, and you study doctrine until you get prepared, and when you are, God will let you know. And it took over 8 years. And then John Smith called, and I ultimately wound up here. Those are the men in my life. I can't leave out my mother, who's now with the Lord. A phenomenal woman. I was raised by two comedians. My mother was all over the place. She was a dynamo and always making jokes. And my dad had a very caustic, sarcastic sense of humor that sort of kept things right in the middle. And so I learned it from both sides there. So my mother has to be saluted. And, of course, the one that stayed with me when others would have left is Joe Henry. I don't know what I'd done without her. She should have left me long ago. I grabbed her up with a baby that was 18 months old and two other children, less than nine, I think, and off we went to Texas, hand over the heart. And we went out there for me to chase what everyone in Troy, Alabama, including her most likely, was a stupid idea. But I was taught to stay with the program, whatever you do, give it your best and never quit. And so the colonel's instruction to do that until the Lord called you is the policy I functioned under. I have mowed lawns in River Oaks in the afternoon and had filet mignon at River Oaks Country Club that evening. I've been high and I've been low. I've cleaned toilets. I've delivered bread. I've sold radios. I have not sold insurance. And then I came here for the fulfillment of that stupid idea that others thought was, but I never gave up on it. I want to take some time right now to salute my spiritual mentor. I was in my office one day and the phone rang. And this was after we had begun construction. It wasn't construction. We had determined we would build a church. We had not begun construction, but Richard was working on the plans, and it was obvious that we were moving forward. That took a period of time before construction actually began. And so this was probably around 2005, early period. The phone rang, and I looked at the little, "I'll let you know who this is," sign there, and it said R.B. Thieme Jr. And I'm thinking, okay, let's sit up straight, let's clear our throat and say, "Hello." And it was indeed the colonel. And he was calling me from his home and was saying to me that he was very, very thrilled that we were going to have a church here in St. Louis. He had done us the high favor of coming here for 10 years for the St. Louis Bible Conference, a period of time that I felt was a salute to me, undeservedly so, and especially at our congregation. He loved the people in this congregation. And so when he called and said, I Joe, congratulate you and your congregation on the fact that you are about to have your new church. And I will tell you this, I will be there to dedicate that church for you and your congregation. And I said to him, Colonel, that is fantastic. You are on the program. We would consider it a high honor for you to come and dedicate our church. And we spoke for a little while, and then we hung up. And then about 15 minutes later, the phone rang. And I looked at the little poop thing, and it said, R.B. Thieme Jr. And I thought, oh me, what is this? And I answered the phone, and he said, Joe, I've been thinking. He said, it's not my duty to dedicate your church, it's your duty. And I said, Colonel, if you will come to St. Louis, I'd prefer you dedicate it. But if you're unable to come, I'll just take the duty for you. So today, I'm standing in for Colonel R.B. Thieme Jr. in the dedication of our church. I can't tell you how kind that man was to me. I was a candidate for the ministry. And you do a doctrinal questionnaire, you fill it out, and if you pass it, then you qualify for the orals. And then along the way, though, you can be ordained, but you don't have a church. That's God's business. And I remember back in my hometown, people would ask me how I was doing at cemetery. They called it seminary. And when I would go back for visits, and I would say, well, I'm not actually in a seminary. And they said, oh, we thought you were there studying to be a pastor. I said, well, I am. Give me that expression. I thought you had to go to seminary. No, I'm just studying the Bible. And so they would very disappointedly walk away. I had a school teacher, when I told her that I had not been to cemetery, she was infuriated and stomped off. That's what the world requires, you go to cemetery. Nevertheless, I stayed there, and he encouraged me all along the way. And any time there was an issue that came up regarding my gift, I could talk to him. He was kind, he was generous, he was supportive, and he is the man who gave me insight into how to handle these trial sermons. I did a trial sermon in Montgomery. Rick Hughes was the one that set up that church, and or at least was teaching that group, I should better say. And they had the idea they wanted to go permanent, call me over there. That didn't work. And then I was called to go up to Sioux Falls. And talk about diversity. Diversity of theology was all over that church, so that didn't work. And then John Smith called with his bass voice, and I felt like that God must be in that. So I gave him a hearing. And so it worked out that I came here. So I salute the colonel. And there's nothing more I can say to him is just a simple thank you for your encouragement. But also, most of all, thank you for the grinding it out of doctrine, 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 doctrine for 53 years. Any of you who've had the privilege, the honor of studying under his exegetical ministry, dispensational theology, infralapsarian approach to the elective decree, all of these phenomenal, important theological ideas. If you've had the privilege of studying these things, then you are armored to continue the assault in a very desperate time in our client nation. And I encourage you, let's keep up the attack. Let's salute the colonel. Let's salute doctrine. Let's salute the rock by coming here consistently and studying the Word of God. When I was in Shreveport a couple of weeks ago, one of our Texas Doritos was there. His name is Bill Henry, and he's sitting down here with Paul. And we got to singing after a Bible class. I told him that I wanted to sing San Antonio Rose, and this lady down there happened to know it. And so she played San Antonio Rose on the piano, and that started opening up the hymn books, and we started singing hymns. Had a good old time. You'd have thought we'd had something to drink. We were just having a grand time. And then the next night, this lady, for whatever reason, chose not to play. But Bill here has an odd talent. I say it's odd because it's different from most people who play the piano. He's like my mother. He can hear a song on the radio or on a CD or something and then go play it, not being able to read a single note of music. That's Bill Henry. And by the way, he is also a descendant of Patrick Henry. You didn't know that, did you? I just decided you were. Yeah. Congratulations. And so he came down over to the piano and began to play. And we did a number of hymns with him at the 88s. And then he decided that he wanted to sing two songs that he had written when at Baraka back in the days of yore. And they were songs saluting Baraka Church and the Colonel and Doctrine. I think they're hilarious. And those of you who know Baraka and know the Colonel and know the process down there will find it absolutely magnificent. So I would like to bring forward with none other than his six-string guitar. Think nothing of it, friends. He is going to come up front and he's going to sing both of these songs for us. Please welcome Bill Henry of Houston, Texas.
First song is to the tune of Waltzing Matilda.
Once there was a preacher preaching in a Quonset hut. He was a young man, his name's Bob Thien, and he taught us a word and how to stay in fellowship. Christ is the answer for all mankind. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer for all mankind. And he taught us the word and how to stay in fellowship. Christ is the answer for all mankind. In rode a barkeep known as Reverend Dano. Wiry and short, but tough was he. He confessed his sin and poured out all his demon gin. Christ is the answer for all mankind. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer for all mankind. He confessed his sin and poured out all his demon gin. Christ is the answer for all mankind. In came the demons knocking at old Robert's door. You'll never teach the word, said they. But he kicked their ass and he opened up the Bible class. Christ is the answer for all mankind. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer for all mankind.
So he kicked their ass and he opened up his Bible class. Christ is the answer for all mankind. In came the people, filling up these rows and pews. In marched the colonel, 1, 2, 3. And his voice is there on tape recorders everywhere. Still, Christ is the answer for all mankind. Christ is the answer, Christ is the answer, Christ is the answer for all mankind. And his voice is there on tape recorders everywhere. Christ is the answer for all mankind. And actually, Rick Trevathan, a young lieutenant at the time, sang that with me. Bracketry. Now, the second song was the first one that I ever did for Bob, and it was right after college. I was going into the Marine Corps at the time. And Glenn Campbell, Gentle on My Mind, was just one of my favorite songs. So I was sitting around waiting to go to OCS, and so I wrote this, and it kind of surprised me. And I was walking up, I was sitting in the back, and Colonel called me forward. And unbeknownst to me, my mother was sitting halfway down, and as I walked up, not knowing what was going to happen, she stuck my guitar out in the aisle. So he said, "Sing the song, son." So. Here goes. Well, it's knowing that the doors are always open and the pews are there to seat me. That makes me leave my bold beak and come to Bible class 6 nights a week. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by tobacco and the wine and the orgies that the old sin nature's turned to. That keeps me in the back pews with King James in my hand and the Dr. Floyd Gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the approbation, human good or power lust that binds me, or something that some Pentecostal lady babbled when she spoke in tongues. It's just knowing that no matter how the demons shout and scream, that the doctrine and my frontal lobe remains there. That keeps me in the back pews with a Sheffield in my hand. And the doctrine, glory, and gentle on my mind. Though the Hebrews and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims are against me, and some holy rollers handed me some tracts because he thinks that I'm not saved. Well, I still might sin and cheat and scheme, things might fill my head, and my human good might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot find a seat down in the back pews where the doctrine's flowing gentle on my mind. And I gave the gospel to some hippies smoking pot and grooving in some train yard. His beard was rough and he was carrying around a crossbow and a knapsack on his back. And on bent knees he said, "Lord, please, won't you show me to that place where I can find that church with all the back pews where they know the word by memory and the doctrine flowing gentle on my mind." There is one more verse, which is sort of period. It goes back to the Vietnam War when President Johnson and Hubert Humphrey were in charge. But this verse was sang there at Bracket Church. So, though Johnson calls the bombing halt, many soldiers die, and the crooked courts castrate our Constitution, and Humphrey Dumpty's saying we'll have peace if we'll believe in Ho Chi Minh. socialist treason is a common thing for socialistic scum. As you laugh about our freedoms, they're destroying. But we will fight and kill the traitors trying to steal the back pews where the doctors flow in gentle on my mind.
Of Grace Doctrine Church down front. This is the day that we dedicate our church to God and to His Word, and I've asked the deacons if they would please construct a prayer in their areas of responsibility during the course of buying the property and building the building, whether they could express from their own vocabulary and their own souls their appreciation to the Father for the grace that has been shown us in this church. Gentlemen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we realize the church is anywhere believers assemble to learn your word. However, by your matchless grace, we are blessed and humbled by the beautiful facility that we now call our own place. Thank you for your guidance to me personally as treasurer in helping communicate to the board and the congregation all the details necessary for them to know during the building process. Thank you for the contributions that we have received to our building fund. The generous donations made by all the people allow us to go forward with no outstanding loan on our building. We now stand ready to open our doors to new believers who are motivated to learn Bible doctrine. In Christ's name we pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we come boldly to your throne of grace to offer thanksgiving, your guidance, direction, and provision of this beautiful church, which you have provided for us in your matchless grace. Throughout the process, whether we looked at vacant lots to a completed church building, you led us to your perfect location and your perfect timing. We have learned much through this process of searching and building our own church. But the most important thing we have learned is to stand fast, trust you for all things, and wait for you to deliver. And now, Father, we pray that we will do our duty as a congregation and move forward with the intake of your word and be faithful to your word and the application of it to our daily lives, that you might be glorified. And we offer this prayer in the name of our only Savior, who is Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace in providing people with the skills and expertise to run the audio and visual functions of our church. There are many details to cover in providing house audio, visual presentation, audio recording, and internet streaming. Teamwork needed is great for seamless operation, the ability to handle the glitches that can occur and have occurred. We thank you for the men that have been functional in this operation: Tim Smith, Dennis Norris, Ben Lawson, and Paul Davey. They are performing these functions, and we thank you for the dedication that they bring to this operation. In Christ's name we pray.
Heavenly Father, we come to you now with a prayer of thanksgiving and salute to our Lord and Savior, who through his matchless grace has manifest once again here in the assembly and the ordering of the myriad of Petros that have aggregated into the magnificent structure that we call our own place. Specifically, we thank you for the many technical elements that have come together through your grace in support of this ministry and this local church. We are immensely grateful for the perfect management that you have given us through the immutable number of details, through the design and the installation of these technical elements. Father, first of all, we thank you for your assembling together the people within this church who have the individual talents needed. We also thank you for the pieces of equipment. But Father, also through this effort, through the building of this church, we thank you for those professionals at TSI, the organization that you introduced us to for the first time when we began to look at how we might bring these things together in support of your teaching and the learning of your word. We're grateful for their guidance and their patience with us through a number of changes and the efforts that now come together through all the wires and gadgets that build this church's technical abilities. Father, we're also thankful for those people who have supported us through prayer from the very beginning through this very moment. We thank you all for all of these things very humbly and raise these prayers in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Father, today we stand before you humbled and with gratitude for the completion of this Church of the Living God. We are grateful for the illustration of the unity of the body of Christ, working together to produce a common end. We witness your flock with varying gifts, talents, abilities, and duties, both seen and unseen, in resolute purpose, the creation of our own place. May this serve to further motivate the production of esprit de corps in our long walk. May this new chapter in the history of Grace Doctrine Church inspire enthusiasm and devotion with our fellow believers as we continue to develop exoteric harmonia. We are confident unity can be achieved through the sharing of the same judgment and Christian mental attitude. May we support and encourage each other to these ends in Christ's name.
Father, we are thankful for those who play their notes, both figuratively and literally, that contribute to the exoteric harmonia of this local church. We are thankful for those who use their gifts to contribute their time and talents to leading and performing our worship music in such a professional manner. We are also thankful for those who volunteer to perform the duties of usher also in such a professional manner. We pray for their continued motivation and their ability to apply divine solutions to any challenges they may encounter. Father, it is clearly evident that you are in your grace, are faithful to provide all that is necessary for us to complete the long walk. We walk on a strong foundation of rock. May we always be reminded that as believers in Jesus Christ, we must supply our positive volition and resolve to complete it. And we ask it in Christ's name.
Father in heaven, we thank you for assembling a group of craftsmen, engineers, and an architect whose skill, through your abundant guidance and grace, has provided us this building. We had our plans, but you moved this building in your wisdom to a spot and placed it on bedrock to remind us that your Son, our Lord and Savior, and the truth that you provide through your word is the foundation of any church. We pray that the living stones of this body of Christ, which there is only one, but which we are a part, would be truly motivated by your generous grace and be guided by your plan, the protocol plan of God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, through his divine truth, that divine truth may triumph in each one of us, and that your grace that we would glorify you in the grace and portfolio of invisible assets that you have provided each one of us in a time where the clouds of darkness and shackles of spiritual slavery gather on our shores and the horizon of this nation. And we pray these things in the name of who gives all true freedom, the only true spiritual freedom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Most merciful and righteous Father, I am grateful that you have seen fit in your perfect wisdom to present us with a beautiful building, a place of worship that is our own. Over the past years, I have had the honor and privilege to work with my fellow deacons from the early incipient planning stages to final completion. Although there were surely trying times, their dedication of purpose, unwavering professionalism, and wise and honorable restraint took us to the project's completion. I am grateful for our pastor's leadership during this interval and the grace lending of Richard Hayes' God-given talent that was indispensable in this undertaking. All we have needed, Thou hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, and thou wilt present us without fault before his glorious presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. While the fellows are being seated, there are a couple of people that I'd like to recognize in closing. And you guys may sit down if you'd like. Oh, the picture takers. I forgot about them. A couple of other people that need to be recognized. I just have to say thank you to Rick Hughes for being here with us for our dedication. Thanks for coming up, Rick. And thank you for your messages. Virtually everything you see in this building outside or inside that we have received so many compliments on, all of it was the brainchild of Richard Hayes, who was our architect, and he and his wife Debbie are here from Knoxville, Tennessee, to celebrate this dedication with us. Richard, words can't tell you how much we appreciate what you did for us. Richard Hayes. Richard put all of this together, and the Lord actually is the one who built it through his grace, for which we are extremely grateful. We'll now have a hymn that I think is appropriate. We'll stand and sing hymn number 268, which is How Firm a Foundation.
No, never forsake.
Heavenly Father, we're indeed grateful to you for this opportunity and privilege of saluting you and your grace this morning. We thank you for our new local church. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would direct and inspire us to more intensified intake of your immutable word. May this be the meeting place for the advance. We thank you for your grace. We lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.